Leviticus 23. I know some of you, what I'm going to do to be fair, because I don't want to be up here, the Hanses and the Karises were in Kalamazoo this morning, so I want to be fair to them, and I don't want them going to sleep, so what I'm going to do is take a couple of words and change their place, and then I'll ask them later, which words did I change? We'll see if they paid attention. I don't want to hear me twice. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." We're to come together on that day, a day that God has commanded that we come together for a purpose, to be taught, to learn, to celebrate part of God's plan, the Feast of Trumpets, the day Jesus Christ will return, and we will hear that trumpet blow. And if we're alive, be changed from mortal to immortal. And if we're dead, be changed from being in the grave to be resurrected as an immortal part of the family of God. Very important in our lives, our future, but a very important time. And it's the next event in God's holy day plan for us as we go through the year. Trumpets, then atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. What a year God gives us. What a year of celebration, but a very meaningful celebration of His plan for us. But the Feast of Trumpets, the day that Jesus Christ will come again in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. The world will take notice then. They will understand something's happening then. Things will begin to change. No longer will there be elections. Jesus Christ won't have to campaign for an office. There won't be any sleazy campaigns going on. He will be in charge. No more lobbyists. No more greed. No more anything other than an honest, loving, caring person in charge of the government. 1 Thessalonians, if you turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4, and in verse 14. Well, let's start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, and beginning in verse 13. Paul talking, he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And the world doesn't have any hope. When someone dies in the world, their belief is that person is either in hell or heaven. They don't have any hope for a real future. They don't understand. If you ask someone to explain heaven, explain hell, they really can't do that. They don't know. But we know that the hope is the resurrection into the family of God. Verse 14, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And a very important verse 18. And we were talking this morning about how important it is to be with God's people on His Sabbath day, to come together, to share the tears, to share the joy, to be able to talk about God, to be able to talk about our future. But in verse 18 it says, therefore comfort one another with these words. We are each other's support. We are each other's strength. We understand what we're doing. We understand our calling. So when we come here, one day out of seven, we come here and share with each other and share the joy that we have, share the hope that we have with each other and how important that is, brethren. We can see that we're in the end time. If we don't think we're in the end time, watch the news. If you've missed it, and I don't know how anyone could miss it about what's going on out in the world. But it's coming to an end. Man's rule cannot go on at the pace it's going. It just can't. But the hope of the resurrection for Christians who had to die was as certain as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That hope, they knew it. It was solid. They lived it. It was their faith. They had that faith that when they died, that they would be resurrected. That they would be resurrected immortal. And Paul says that Jesus will bring with Him those who have died in Christ. Our future, our hope, a day that the Feast of Trumpets reminds us of, as it symbolizes that part of God's plan when all of those who have died in Christ are resurrected. Paul believed that Christ could return in his lifetime. We all want to see that. We all want to be alive to witness that event. What event could be more exciting than to see Jesus Christ return? It would be exciting and scary at the same time. But we do. We all want to be alive to see that. But the voice of the archangel will declare the beginning of victory. The beginning of victory over sin and death. Because we know that sin and death are thrown into the lake of fire. They're done away with. They won't exist anymore. But when Christ returns, He will begin to set up God's government. And who will help Him set up that government? You and I will be there. We'll be that watchman who knew what was going to happen and who didn't relax, who didn't take the day off, who stood fast and watched and prayed for God's people. And unless Christ returns to resurrect the dead, there would be no eternal life for any of us. So if that part of the plan was missing, we wouldn't have a future. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, if that didn't happen, if we didn't have that faith, and we didn't have that hope and that understanding through the Holy Spirit of God, we wouldn't realize. We wouldn't know. We wouldn't have knowledge of God's plan. But it says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's a waste of time. Waste of time. And you are still in your sins. We're still under the death penalty if that didn't happen. If Jesus Christ was not crucified and wasn't in His grave 3 days and three nights and resurrected to be at His Father's right hand, then we are still under the death penalty. See how important trumpets is? The fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected, the fact that he's coming back and he's going to install God's government here on earth. And in verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep or those who have died in Christ have perished. They're gone, they're ashes, they're dirt, they're dust, they're nothing. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, if he wasn't resurrected, our hope is gone. There's nothing left. But we know that. We know that the fact is, the truth is, that he did die, that he was resurrected. The final signal will be the trumpet of God, when we as the children of God from that day forward will always be the Lord. That final signal, that trumpet, when we become spirit beings, and to be with the Lord always. What a day. What a fantastic day that's going to be. For all of God's people, living or dead. And we see that coming. That's part of God's plan. Many religions today will say God has a plan. But when you ask them about, well, explain that plan to me. What is that plan? They don't know. They don't know what it is. Because they've done away with the Sabbath. They've done away with the holy days. And if you've done away with that, you've done away with God's plan. You don't have a plan. That's why it's so important that God's Sabbath, God's holy days, are kept. That's the only way we can understand what God's doing. Without those, we wouldn't have a clue. But we never hear the holy days mentioned other than Old Testament. They're done away with. When Christ died on the cross, all of that stuff was done away with. The Sabbath, the holy days, all of that stuff. Don't have to do that anymore. And there's absolutely no way anyone can understand the plan of God if they don't keep God's Sabbath day and they don't keep God's holy days. They could not, under any circumstances, understand God's plan. Because that marks it out. That gives us God's plan step by step. And if we don't keep those days, we wouldn't have a clue. How blessed we are to understand that. And I hope we never take it for granted that we see the holy day approaching and we're excited about it. What a day to be able to be there in God's presence on a day. And how do we know that that won't be the actual day when Jesus Christ returns on the Feast of Trumpets, whenever? We couldn't say that for sure, but we couldn't rule it out for sure. We don't know. But wouldn't we hate to miss that? Wouldn't that be great if we were in services on the Feast of Trumpets one day and Jesus Christ chose that day to return? How exciting would that be? But we can read references to keeping the holy days or instruction on how they're to be observed in all four Gospels. New Testament, also in the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians, Colossians, 2 Peter, and Jude. 9 New Testament books show clearly which day God's New Testament church kept. These are the days God's people kept. There's no mention in any of the books of the Bible of God's church keeping Christmas or Easter or Halloween or any Valentine's Day, anything like that. But there is no mention of that at all. And yet, because Satan is the master of deception, what do we hear about in the world's religions? We hear about Christmas and Easter, the two biggest days in the world's religions. No mention of the Sabbath, no mention of the holy days. What plan would there be in Christmas and Easter? The only plan on Christmas is hopefully the store's open. I can take this crummy gift Uncle Bill got me and take it back to the store. Or an Easter, look at my new outfit. Is that a plan? Doesn't make any sense. But how blessed we are to know God's plan. And in the book of Zechariah, we read about a future time during the millennium where everyone will keep God's feast days. And if they don't keep them, God will punish them. That's how important they are. The feast days were commanded to be kept forever. Forever. Let's look at Leviticus 23. We'll go back there. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and in verse 1. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are feasts." If you feel like keeping them, go ahead. If you're busy, don't worry about it. I'll go ahead and have it without you. You don't need to be there. That's not what it says. It says, these are my feasts. God's feast. Who in their right mind would miss a feast that our Creator God is putting on for us? Putting that feast on for us. How could we reject that? How could we not be there? Our God giving us that special time at His throne. A memorial of blowing trumpets to remember. What does this mean? How does this fit into God's plan? Revelation 11, if you turn there with me. Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15, it says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" Forever and ever. Our future, our hope. God's kingdom is going to last for eternity. As we're resurrected or changed, we have eternity in front of us. Verse 19 says, "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and a great hail." All of this going on. God's presence. Bringing His kingdom. Bringing His government. To a dying, sinful world. Getting the world's attention. What will it take to get the world's attention? What did it take to get Sodom and Gomorrah's attention? We're blessed to have our minds open to understand the plan of God, to understand the Feast of Trumpets and what it's all about. And on the 25th of this month, we'll observe that. It's a very special time in God's master plan. It's time we all pray every day that that peace, that that kingdom will come to bring peace to this world. But we can all take time before the Feast of Trumpets to study about the feast. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? How does it fit into God's plan? We can reread the Holy Day booklet every year and be refreshed and see things that, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot how this fit or what that was all about. We can read about that and gain knowledge from it. But all of God's holy days come together, laying out God's plan for our future. Most people know right from wrong. We in God's church know the right way and wrong way to worship God. We know what God expects from us. Obeying God's word as we get it in the Bible is a way of peace and joy. If everyone obeyed God, obeyed his commandments, but that hasn't happened. Ever since Adam and Eve were created, man has thought there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. And that's the way they've chosen to go instead of going God's way. And the question I have, and the appropriate question that comes to mind is, how has that worked out for us? How has disobeying God, turning our back on God, spitting in Jesus Christ's face, how has that worked out for us as human beings? It didn't. It didn't work. So why would we not look for an alternative, something that would work? Maybe God's right. Maybe God's got something here. Matthew 15, if you turn there with me. Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 8. Matthew 15 and verse 8. These people... What people? These people. These people that call themselves religious. They call themselves religious leaders, scholars, biblical scholars. The religious leaders. Evangelists that can fill stadiums with 30,000 people. Got their own TV networks and all of this. These people draw near to me with their mouth. They draw near to me with their mouth. They say they love God. They say they obey God. They say they adhere to God's law. But why aren't they keeping God's commandments? Why aren't they keeping God's holy days? Why aren't they doing it the way God said to do it? And it goes on, and they honor me with their lips. Talk a good talk. Talk a religious sounding talk. You ever see these people who talk religious, who look religious, who act religious? And then the last sentence here, but their heart is far from me. If they're not obeying the word of God as given to us in the Bible, God says here they're honoring him with their mouth and not with their hearts. And in verse 9, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of who? Certainly not God's commandments. I know what God says, but this is the way I think it ought to be. We ought to worship here on Sunday because the neighbors think we're nuts being here on Saturday. So if we want to appear to be somewhat sane, we should meet here on Sunday. That's the reasoning of some people. We don't want to be the odd man out. We don't want to look crazy. So we'll just make it, God will understand. Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, God will understand. We're here for the right reason. But teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Shame on all of us. As human beings. Very clear there. Where are our hearts? We, as those people that God has called out of the world, we should know where our heart is. We should know where our faith is. Our heart and faith should be in Jesus Christ. He should be the reason for what we do, for why we get up in the morning. Hopefully we understand better, brethren, that we can't change anything. We can't change the commandments. We can't change the day to worship. My goodness, who do we think we would be to do that? Yet man has done it. Man has done it. It'll take Jesus Christ to straighten that out. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 6. Revelation 14, 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. The everlasting gospel. What do you think that is? You think that's probably the same gospel that Jesus Christ taught? I'm sure it is. Didn't change. We never changed anything. Could have said here, well, we know Christ taught that Saturday's a Sabbath, but you know what? It was convenient for everybody to keep Sunday, so we did it that way. Doesn't say that. It says, preaching the everlasting gospel to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, all getting the same message. Not having 70 different doctrines or beliefs. They were all getting the same message. In verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of wrath of her fornication. Strong word. In verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels in the presence of the Lamb. Worship God in the way God wants to be worshiped. And we do that by keeping God's holy days, by adhering to His plan, not making up our own, but following God's plan. And the Feast of Trumpets is part of that plan. So think about that as we draw close to the Feast of Trumpets, and think about going back to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread and how we got to the point of trumpets, and how it all fits together, and how it will continue to fit together with atonement and with the feast and the last great day. What a plan God has put together for us, for you and me. For you and me. So if we listen, if we obey and follow God's plan without trying to do things our way, we're going to be just fine. So think about trumpets, pray about it, pray about the messages not only here that will be given, but all around the world, that messages are given that God wants delivered. Because, brethren, I think we have to begin to set up in our seats and take notice that something's going on out there. Something that's never went on in this world before, not in our lifetime. Something we need to keep our eye on, something we need to pray about on a daily basis. But we know, as Mr. Armstrong always said, he's looked at the end of the book and we win. And we know that. We win when Jesus Christ returns to set up God's government. Things will change. Things will change for the better, not only for us, but for all of mankind. So glad to be here, and we will see you all in a couple weeks. And always glad to be here with you guys, and anytime you want to, like, come to Lansing or whatever, you're welcome. But thank you all for your, I got some good feedback when we lost our dog, got some good support, and I needed that. If any of you are pet owners, you know the trauma they can put you through, especially when they die like that. So thank you all for that. Again, thank you for your prayers, and we will see you, and of course we'll see you trumpets as well.